Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And this podcast is brought to you by Audible Trial, Audible Books, audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show. Check it out. They have 180,000 titles. But in the meantime, after great searching and a lot of milk cartons, we found him. Here he is, Mike Brown. What's up, Mike Brown?
Hi, Bubba. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I was worried about you. I thought that I had to buy some more milk. I couldn't find you in the back of the carton. Where you been, brother?
Yeah, sometimes you just got to disappear for a little while, right? Getting our summer baseball season going, and trying to make America great again.
Yeah, you always do that. You're a hard worker. You've been traveling around with the baseball team. I thought you retired from coaching.
Retired from coaching. Still have to, somebody's got to drive the bus, right? So.
Well, you can get the other guy to drive the bus. He likes driving the bus.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, retired. This is my first summer not coaching in 10 years, actually. So, it's been nice. I'm on my way right now to Louisville for a little of high school girls basketball with my daughter.
Oh, and that's a good thing. That is definitely a good thing. That I can always give you props for, because that's more important than anything, right? You got to take care of the kids before anything else. So,
absolutely,
Mr. Brown, what the hell's going on here in the investing world? What are you just kind of seeing in a general overview?
We just continue to churn higher. From what I'm seeing, barring some type of outlier, which we know will come at some point, but right now, we just continue to churn higher into the summer. And I don't see that changing unless North Korea actually does shoot a missile at us or something along those lines. But right now, the money, is flowing to the market. There's really, if you look at the bond market, there's nowhere else to really go at this point. I think people are chasing yield. At some point the music will beat, but right now it just continues to move higher.
Well, I don't know if the music will ever stop, and of course I do know it's going to stop, and I've actually, myself, I have called the top of the market here, okay? Now, again, that doesn't mean that the market's going lower. It just means that I don't think we're going up much. If we go up at all, I think there's too many warning signs out there. I think there's been too much overpriced in this market on a lot of expectations, and, excuse me, as much as they talk about growth, let's start there, and great earnings. Yes, the earnings are good, but we're not seeing the growth, Mike, because if tax receipts are down, that means people aren't making as much money, right?
Yep.
So
that is correct.
So companies are making more money, but the people who need the money are not making more money. What do you say?
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. The tax receipts are down. You're seeing here in Illinois where they're attempting to raise our taxes even further. We've got to see some organic growth. I'm hoping that the policies that this administration are talking about will be enacted from a deregulation standpoint, and that we will be able to see some organic growth. But that's this administration also can't seem to take its foot out of its mouth. So. We may just end up, churning in the same place, like you said, for an extended period of time. If they're not able to get infrastructure spending passed, more deregulation, take the handcuffs off. Certainly not happening here in Illinois. Their idea is let them create an environment that'll bring in jobs and hopefully grow the tax receipts. Their brilliant plan is, we'll just tax the people that are stuck here more, because you know, obviously the people who can leave are leaving. So it'll be the ones that are stuck here that end up, getting their foot put on their throat.
Now, you know, you and I both are obviously big believers in America and the opportunity that it presents, but we also do kind of understand reality. In your opinion, do they get the health care done, and do they get the tax cuts done? Because to me, it doesn't look like there's any chance they're going to get it done, because there's too much division, even in the own Republican Party, not to mention that he's never going to get a Democratic vote.
Yeah, that's going to be... The factor heading into the fall is, can they reach across the aisle, coalesce their own party, and get people to vote for these, both the health care and the tax cuts? If they can get those done, then I think we can, do some broken field running and break higher. If not, then we're going to churn in place or go lower. And right now they can't seem to get out of their own way. I mean, I cannot believe they've not taken shut that damn Twitter account down. But it's just some of the stuff that's coming out of there.
Well, I've actually had two interesting thoughts and what I think, and I think that he does a lot of that stuff. Yes, we know he's a little bit goofy, right? I mean, he's a great guy. I think he's doing a great job, my personal opinion, but he is a little bit, he does things. But I think that's his way of reaching around everybody and getting a message directly to the people, and I think he's doing a good job at that. And I think based on what I've seen, I like the Twitter because I think it brings some excitement, and I think it's going to end up showing how broken down the system actually is from a political standpoint. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope so. The most recent one with the old wrestling footage. I think I'm not sure exactly what point that served, but yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. If you're going to drain the swamp, the monsters that live in the swamp are not going to go gently into that good night. They're going to kick and scream and on their way out. So I hope that's the case. I hope it allows it to, him to reach the grassroots public. I would like to see it done with more of a positive message. Let's look big picture and try to be more positive, i.e. like Reagan would do with a lot of his speeches, as opposed to it being a constant back and forth with the media. I'd like to see him, let's look big picture. Let's try and paint that big picture where we want to be, 5-10 years from now as a country. So if he can do that, then I think, he'll be able to get his stuff passed. But if not, then I think it'll be a problem.
All right. Well, we'll get to more because I happen to have a little bit of a disagreement here. But we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We are with Mike Brown. Mike, what's the company name, brother?
Brown Capital.
Brown Capital. What's your website?
Brown Capital. Browncapital.org.
Right.
And we, National Securities is our broker dealer.
Right. Your broker dealer is National Securities, Browncapital.org. And I knew it was Brown Capital. But anyway, so we're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to Audible Trial for you listeners to Bubba Trading. To the Bubba Show. I can't even get that right. That's how good things are going. It is audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show, and you can see over 180,000 titles. And of course, I recommend you check out the book Fed Up by our friend Daniel DiMartino Booth, who will be here shortly. And I want to make sure that you get what you need. There's also the Creature from Jekyll Island, which I'm a big fan of. In the meantime, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekend with Xander. And now they're going to be doing a live event pretty soon, so it's going to be pretty cool for them. So make sure that you check out The Sporting Edge. And, of course, don't forget BubbaTrading.com. We've got a lot of great things going on. And, of course, the futures programs have been going phenomenal, as well as even with the markets going straight up, the hedging has been working very well indeed. So make sure you go there and check out things at BubbaTrading.com. And we're going to bring Mike back late in the show. He's got to go to a basketball game, so we're going to bring him at the end of the show for the close. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we got to go do our visit to our friends at Rural Rally Radio. I'm Marlon Bowling and the gang. So we're going to go now and talked to Marlon about what's going on in the agricultural space, as well as some of the outside markets that go with it. So without further ado, let's go to our friend Marlon Bowling at Rural Rally Radio, and he's going to interview me. Here we go.
It's BubbaTrading.com. He joins us right now to take a look at what to expect in today's market as traders bleary-eyed and everything come back into work today. What do you think here, Todd?
Good morning, and bleary-eyed is right, because interesting thing. I think the markets are probably, I mean, if we want to look at the grain markets, you should probably look for a little bit what happened in corn on Monday. You saw a little bit of late selling coming in. I think you're and again, I'm still, you know, pretty bullish wheat and corn, but I think that you're going to see some profit taking. I mean, wheat's gone from 460 to 555 in 3 days. So again, I would expect to see selling. I don't care, you know, what the story is, the weather, there's not enough, whatever. We're going to see probably a little bit of profit taking here, and I'm hoping that everybody is at least hedged some of their stuff up here at these high levels, because certainly nothing wrong with locking in a profit and be able to participate. And I think soybeans, 950 was a real key spot, and it got through. So now the next key area is 10. If we can get through 10, then we could be off to the races, but I would think it might be tough to get through 10 this first time through. But overall, I think the complex looks good. I think the dollar, although a little bit stronger today, is going to come is going to get to our 94 target. You know, we got close. I think we're going to still get there. I think this is just more of a dead cat bounce. And, you know, oil is doing the same thing, having a little bit of a dead cat bounce, and not today actually selling off. It was up pretty big, you know, Monday and into, you know, it did trade on Tuesday, the holiday, electronically, and was up at like 47.30, and now we're down in the mid 46s, and I still expect that $40 target we put on this on here.
One of the traders that I visited with on Monday, they referred to that Minneapolis wheat trade as a runaway train. How do you characterize that market right now, and how does it stand as far as the bullish bearish factor?
Well, I think it's significantly overdone, Marlon. I think that this is when you're in a thinner market. It's already thin to begin with. So, you know, you've got a market and you've got a lot of people that are short, that are getting squeezed to death trying to get out. And, you know, of course, when you're in a market, we call it the Roach Motel. You can get in, but you can't get out. And I think that that's what you're seeing now, an example of being stuck in a market that has no liquidity. As a speculator, you know, if you're using it as a hedge, you're doing great, because, you know, listen, you locked in a nice price. But if you're using it as a speculation and it gets away from you, I mean, nobody's letting you out. And if you remember, you can go back to January of 2007, when Minneapolis wheat hit $21, I believe was the number, and under very similar circumstances. And again, this is something that's very, very troubling for speculators, because it brings in a problem. It does help, obviously, you know, farmers and producers. They want to go and lock in some high prices there. But from a speculator spot, it's somebody's getting roasted here.
That's a good way to put it. The Roach Motel. Okay, interesting analogy there. When you look at the soybeans here, though, you know, you have to admit we're not really into that prime part of the growing season yet. That fear factor time will come into play probably next month, right?
Oh, probably. But again, one of the things you look at, you know, I'm a big advocate of following price and trade and action. And the soybeans have under tremendous pressure. Now, they held the key $9 level, they held, which was a big thing, because they were looking like they were going significantly lower. And there's a lot of big calls out there for sub $8 beans eventually. So, you know, again, I think that they've done yeoman's duty holding here, and I think they look good. And I think that we're going to see, you know, a lot of this will time in my opinion, with the selling off of the equity markets, which I think is not that far away, because it'll bring some alternative money, alternative investing into the grains, which then obviously will push prices higher as well. From a fundamental standpoint, you know, we've got some time to see things still happen. Of course, that's one of the biggest things here is always what can happen that could throw everything out of whack here. And I think that's what we're going to see here. And I do like them, but I think $10 is a key spot. If they can't get through, I think they're going back down, you know, $9.50 or $9.
Interesting. Okay, Todd, we'll bring you back here in a moment. We'll talk a little more about what to expect in Wednesday's Ag Markets. Our guest, well, it's none other than Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. We'll have more with Todd when we come to the morning edition of Commodity Wrap. Thanks for joining us. I'm Marlon Bowling with you, along with Zach Troutman. He runs the board for us. And we're talking with Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Crude oil looks to be a little weaker here in the early morning hours today. Is that right?
Yeah, it's down about it's been down almost as much as a dollar. It's down about 60 cents right now, and it's like I said, Marlon, I think this is a great, if you're a speculator, you should be selling it here. I think it's going back to 40. That is our ultimate target, and we've each time we've come down, we got down to 42 last time, and I think there's one more nice push down, and then I think then we might be, you know, might want to start to look to hedge some input costs for fuel. But here, I think there's still much room to the downside and no real reason to see it perk up, either technically or fundamentally.
I do want to get your thoughts on what we have been experiencing here in this lean hog trade. That is really something to behold. We had the August contract rebounding again on Monday. It looked like they sold it off. They tried to sell it off about a half hour after the open on Monday. But in that very short trading session, it didn't take too long, and the market rallied once again, and we closed higher. 84.40 on the close on Monday, and you had October at 71.55 on the close. That was over a dollar higher. How long can they keep this up here, Todd?
This is one of the things about markets, and again, about, you know, technical trading, that this market continues to push higher. Now, I've taken a couple of stabs to sell it, you know, as you know, over the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks, and each time got my lunch without getting it on the barbecue. And I think that, you know, you just got to let it watch her. I think there's no way, in my opinion, it has much to continue, but trying to say that this is the place it's going to stop is a futile effort. And I think that if you're an owner, if you're a farmer, producer, you have these, you better start locking in some numbers up here. These are, you can see there's a major difference. If we go back 6 weeks or 8 weeks, August and July were the exact same price. Now there's a $7 difference. So all of a sudden we've got a major backwardation starting to form here, which really indicates that the buyers are in the front here, and they're either short or they're trying to load up, and their sellers are starting to come in the back end, and that would indicate to me that lower prices are coming. But again, trying to time this out and get it right here, you have to wait till this market stops going up, because it's been going basically just straight up and making, it made contact highs, I think, 7 out of 10 days.
All right, how long do we have, until that July contract disappears then this month?
About 20 days, I believe. I'll tell you right now.
Okay. So we have a little bit of time.
We got 2 weeks, 12 days.
How are those big commodity funds positioned here on the livestock trade now?
I believe that they're positioned short, but it looks like that could be one of the reasons that we're seeing this squeeze in hogs, because, you know, one thing about them, when they get big, they get so big that they can't get out. And again, you don't have enough liquidity, and they're getting squeezed, I think. And I think that's really more the story. I think you saw this early in cattle between February and June, and now we're seeing it in hogs between July. It started in April, and then we went to July and then August. I think that's what you're seeing, is somebody got trapped, and that's the continuation here. They're just trying to get out, in my opinion.
And I do want to remind everybody, back on the grain side, we are going to get the crop progress and condition reports today, this afternoon, after the markets close up. They are really delayed this week on account of the 4th of July occurring on a Tuesday. So be prepared for that. And the trade, of course, can't react until tonight or tomorrow on that. Todd, if somebody wants to call you, how do they reach you there and talk more about the market?
BubbaTrading.com. You can either email me at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com or call me at 847-914-0053. Call me anytime. Love to help you. And make sure, if you don't call me, lock in some of these big numbers, because, big numbers sometimes tend to be small numbers.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Todd. Very good stuff. Todd. Thanks, Bubba Horowitz, Bubba Trading.
And this is the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. That was me visiting with Marlon Bowling from Rural Rally Radio. And of course, make sure that you check out Audible Books and their 180,000 trials titles. Go to audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show, and you can get download books of your choice. Again, they do have 180,000 titles. That's at audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show. Go get yourself a copy of Fed Up or Creature from Jekyll Island, or something from David Valducci, or something from Giant Grisham. You know, any of them, whatever you like. You know, again, make sure you check it out. In the meantime, you can download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And, of course, it allows you to get the Sporting Edge as well. And, of course, Bubba's Bottom Line is available to you at BubbaTrading.com. I think you'll enjoy it. I would like you to check it out. Do a brother a favor. This is The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step by here for a break, and we'll be right back with Danielle DiMartino Booth after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Fly me. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Yeah, that whistle is 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and joining us again today for a little bit is Danielle DiMartino Booth, from the author of the book Fed Up and also the president or chairman of Money Strong. Really a very popular in the financial industry, and especially did work for the Fed. And a reminder to get her book, Fed Up, and you can get that for free on a free trial from Audible Books. Go to audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show and download Fed Up. Okay, Danielle, welcome back today. And of course, now... Now I got to get into it a little bit. I've been nice and I warmed you up, but now I've got some.
Well, but thank you for having me back, Todd. Let's be polite, shall we? Okay. We can take the gloves off.
How can I not have you back? Okay. So now, first of all, Goldman Sachs and the Fed, and even though the Fed is supposed to be a private corporation, I contend that even though technically they're private, they're really not private. That's my contention. Tell me why I'm right or wrong.
You're both. If you look at Janet Yellen and the other people out of Washington, D.C., part of the Federal Reserve Board, their email address ends with .gov. So they're bona fide government employees. If you are to get, say, Patrick Harker in Philadelphia or Charlie Evans in Chicago, their email addresses end in .org. So they're quasi-public employees. After each individual Federal Reserve of 12 districts cover their expenses, pay their salaries, pay the electricity bill, any money they happen to have left over is remitted to Washington. So they're both private and public.
And, of course, that means that there is some undue influences on them. And I think, Danielle, the biggest thing that really irks, well, there's a lot of things that irk me, but one of the bigger things that irks me is, A, their free and easy money policy of the willingness to continue to keep rates low, because I don't think it does anybody any good in the long run. But tie into that fractional banking, because the banks themselves are actually printing money at the same time, because when you can lend out more than you have by 9 times approximately, and you don't get, even if they don't all pay it back, you make money. Plus the fact that I don't believe, even though the banks pass their stress test, I don't believe that any of them really have the actual reserves to cover every dollar that they lend out. Tell me.
Well, look, the banks pass stress tests based on yesteryear's stresses. Nobody can tell us what tomorrow's stresses are going to look like. The whole financial system went to DEFCON 1 last year because of Deutsche Bank, and that issue hasn't even been addressed. So I don't think anybody knows where the stresses lie in the years to come. If we didn't have an alphabet soup of banking regulators and we just had one really strong regulator, saved the taxpayers gazillions of dollars, and hired people that were smart enough to actually read bank balance sheets, I think that we could know where the systemic risk in the system was hovering in the shadows. But we don't. We don't know. We can't answer these questions. Instead, we have a massive, tentacled bureaucracy of people, many of whom are...
don't have a clue.
They're corrupted by an agenda, and they don't have to be on the receiving end of their own policies. You've got your beef. That is mine. That is my biggest beef. These are bureaucrats who have pensions for life, and they're telling grandma and grandpa that they can choke on zero interest rates.
So we've got this policy, which I know that Fisher was against quite a bit of the way, and he was more, as we call, the hawk. But so you look at the way they've done things, and you write about it in your book that these are academia. They're all very smart people from my book standpoint, but not one of them are willing to adjust their theories because they believe that their theories will always come to be correct. What do you say?
You know, I joke in the book that Mark Vintner, he's a fun guy, economist at Wells Fargo. We once were speaking together at a conference in Georgia, and he quipped, you know, if you seasonally adjust, and he's actually kind of he's vertically challenged, as am I, and he doesn't have a lot of hair. But he quipped at the podium, you know, if you seasonally adjust me, I'm George Clooney. Bubba, if you seasonally adjust me, you know, I'm his wife, George Clooney's new wife. It is an institution that if you don't have a long historic series that can be seasonally adjusted, by the way, the seasonals are totally broken, then it need not apply. So, you know, you might be on the inside. You might be saying, hey, you know, credit default swaps on all these big banks are lining up. It looks like we've got a daisy chain. It looks like the entire world could be melting down here, and they're going, credit default swaps. No. That's not in our wheelhouse. That's not in our models. No. Nope. And so again, their feet are not on planet Earth. They're not following the same things that we're following.
Right, because they don't have their own skin in the game, and they can sit there and stand by theory. Because if I'm a farmer and I'm out in the field working, and my tractor breaks down, but the manual says it's not supposed to, I have to fix it. And of course, I don't think that they do a very good job. I think they're far too involved in what the stock market does, which is really not their mandate. Is their mandate not to be the lender of last resort and a couple other small things? Their mandate is not to be involved in the day-to-day stock market actions. Am I correct?
It's not. And if you go back to the world prior to August the 11th, 1987, they really weren't obsessed with the stock market. But on August the 11th, 1987, Mr. Greenspan came roaring into town, and he was obsessed. As his memoir reveals, he was obsessed with the stock market. Eventually, he came to revere the stock market. And as we know, nearly 30 years later, we're talking about just a few weeks from now that we're going to celebrate the 30-year anniversary of the Greenspan era beginning. Before he came in, the tail didn't wag the dog. What happened in the stock market really had no bearing on monetary policy. They were just there to make sure that your spending power was retained. And now, all these years later, we have idiotic things like an inflation target. I'm sorry, but I never signed up to have 2% of my buying power eroded every year as a goal. That would make me a jackass.
I'm with you 100%. Now, this goes back to the creature from Jekyll Island, but the hidden tax of inflation, I mean, here's how I lay it out. The Fed wants to increase inflation because my house that I own, that I pay taxes on, if they can increase the value of it, then I've got to pay more taxes on my own house that I already own, that I shouldn't have to pay real estate tax to begin with, but I do. So now they want me to even pay more money so they can finance all their, I would say stupidity, but all of their money printing and everything else that they do in the Federal Reserve. Okay.
And meanwhile, back at the ranch, you know, your property taxes are going to go up even more because of how low interest rates are and have been, and how they are beginning to literally cripple the finances of state and municipalities, which, I mean, you can educate me on that better than I can educate you on it. But these are very, very, very serious matters. The city of Chicago has ambulatory services on the chopping block in terms of trying to cut costs. I am sorry, but, you know, when I call 911, I need the paddles to show up.
I listen. That's when you have got the last four out of the last eight governors went to jail. That's the problem you have when you live in the state of Illinois. And of course, they spend like drunken sailors. So now, okay, so here we are, and we've progressed through this. And I believe now this is my opinion. I get your opinion on it, but I believe that since the Greenspan era, since 1980. He has been the greatest bubble builder, followed by his assistants, Ben Bernanke and now Janet Yellen. I believe they're more not interested necessarily, but the way they handle the policy is building bubbles in the long run. What do you say?
It's exactly what they do. I mean, Einstein has never actually been truly attributed with the old definition of insanity. Whoever really said those words, they were clearly absorbed by Greenspan, and then Bernanke, and then Yellen. One of the most disingenuous, infuriating questions I get is, well, don't blame Bernanke. He had to go writing to the rescue. And my answer is read the transcripts. He was right there with Alan Greenspan saying that subprime would be contained and that you can only put out fires afterwards. You can only come and clean up the mess afterwards. He was right there with Greenspan's flawed philosophy. And Janet Yellen, a labor economist, takes it up one notch further. And again, people are going to say, oh, but Yellen had to come in and do this, and she had to come in and do that when the next bust hits. And I will direct them back to the transcripts and all of the things that she had to say about the fact that, you know what, you can only come in the aftermath of a bubble bursting and clean it up. You know what I say? Well, it's not a word I can say, but that's what I say.
Let's not build the bubbles first. Anyways, we are with Danielle DiMartino Booth, the author of Fed Up, and she's going to come back and join us again tomorrow as we finish this up. And for tomorrow, I got a couple of things you can think about overnight. I want to talk about Jeffrey Lacker, because you know I emailed you the minute that happened. I'm irritated about that. And I want to know your thoughts. If you were writing again today, like the article you wrote in 2003, what would you write about the economy today? This is Danielle DiMartino Booth. She's coming back tomorrow. In the meantime, go get her book. Go download it. Go to audiblebooks.com and you actually get the link, audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show. You can download the book Fed Up. You get a 30-day free trial. And I'm telling you, I highly recommend this. She's here right here. She's pretty snippy, but she gets a little bit more snippy when she's in the book. You can do that in print. This is The Bubba Show, Top of Orbs. We'll be right back after the break with more.
Don Costa and stolen by me.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and, of course, Danielle Martino is great. And now we've got our guy Mike Brown from Brown Capital and that browninvestments.net, right? Am I right there? I get that wrong. Yeah. Browninvestments.net.
Browncapital.net.
About the Browncapital.net. You know, it's one thing about me. I can't keep thinking about it, but it's I will put this to you. He is probably one of the better managers around, because really what he does is he looks at the market as a person understanding the views and when things do become a little bit overvalued and when things do become a little bit undervalued and understands the markets in those terms, and very few do. So I give him kudos. So Mike, you know, we talked earlier, and I was kind of, you know, I'm really unhappy about the entire system, which you and I have talked about before, but I don't see anything that he wants getting done. And I don't think it has anything to do with Twitter. I think that these mopes from the other side continue. Now they're trying the 25th Amendment, which is, you know, mentally or physically incapable, which he is not. And they cannot force him to be mentally incapable. So why are they wasting so much time and so much money and so much nonsense?
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all either. What they're doing is, you know, basically throwing up chaff, right? If they can keep moving the ball around and, you know, create, you know, there's the Russian thing, so that finally gets put to bed. Now they're the 25th Amendment. It's just obstructionism. You know, they don't have to govern at that point. And can they do that for 4 years and, you know, hope they can win an election then? I mean, I think that's their plan. You know, rather than dealing with the real problems we have, which a lot of it is, you know, our deficit, our infrastructure, the pension crisis, which is coming. It's already here in Illinois, but it's coming for everybody at some point. You know, then they don't have to deal with those things. Well, let's make it, oh, he's mentally incompetent. No, no, he's not. You may not like what he has to say, but he's not mentally incompetent. The man is lucid. So I think it's just a lot of chaff they're throwing up in the air, trying to distract people and you know, give them something to hang their hat on so they don't actually have to tackle the problems that are here. So, which a lot of, you know, the past 8 years, they didn't tackle any problems either. So just keep kicking the can down the road.
Which obviously is a huge problem. So you're almost old enough to remember, I think, when Democrats and Republicans were much more both towards the center of the line, and we didn't have this tremendous division, and parties, even if they hated each other, could find some reason to work together. Because the one thing you and I both, or maybe you don't know, but or my opinion, I don't want to put this in your words in your mouth. In my opinion, they're both crooks. You know, there obviously there's some good people in there, but for the average, if I look at the big, is a big model, both sides are phony. They could care less about the average American person. They're worried about themselves because they do have their own pension, their own health care, everything else they've got. They have nothing to worry about for their own personal thing, and they do get benefits from raising campaign dollars and do things like that. And when it comes down to the things that really matter to the American people, they really don't give a crap until they have to, and then they say, oh, we did this for you. We finally took care of it. Of course, in the amount of money we pay for it. Any thought? You want to comment? Do you want me to move on?
Oh, I do remember. I mean, Tip O'Neill was not a fan of Ronald Reagan, right? I mean, Tip O'Neill, longtime Speaker of the House. But they were able to work together. They were able to get things done, you know? And so we had the expansion that started in 1982 and, you know, fed through to, you know, the dot-com bust in 2001. So I do remember that. I mean, they weren't fans of each other, but they were able to work together. And as far as their pension, you know, their pension, their health care, all of that should be, in my opinion, the first thing you get rid of. You know, you're not, it's supposed to be public service. You're not, it's not a career. You're not supposed to be there for 30 years. So in my opinion, you know, let's do away with those things. You know, going forward, you know, you're going to get your 8 years. You're getting paid. You're getting paid from the public coffers. It was never supposed to be a career path. And nobody envisioned it as a career. You know, in the old days, people would come in, they'd serve 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, and go back to the private sector. You know, term limits, I think, would solve a lot of our problems. And, you know, obviously the people that, you know, you're going to have that as a groundswell. You know, they're not going to, you know, hang themselves. They're going to go out and say, hey, you know what, we're going to kick ourselves out of office here. So hopefully at some point we have a, you know, and I think, you know, with the technology and the internet, the way things work and, you know, how quickly things can move now, you know, if we could get a groundswell of opinion, for term limits, you know, set it at, you know, you can't serve in the House for more than, you know, six terms, so 12 years, and, you know, the Senate no more than two. You know, which would be 12 years again. And at that point, you know, you realize you got to go back out to the private sector. You're not there as a career. You don't have situations like we have in Illinois where, you know, one little district can, you know, and the guy who runs it can block everything else. So I think that would solve a lot of our problems and allow us to actually govern. And people would be in there to get something done and then go back to the private sector.
Now, do you think that they should be on Obamacare and regular Social Security instead of the pension that they're receiving?
Yeah, whatever you're going to force down our throat, you should have to eat too. I mean, that's, you know, it's supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people. You know, if you're on something completely different, then what impetus do you have to make sure that it works? And the answer to that is they don't, because it doesn't. So, yeah, the fact that they're on something separate from everybody else is absolutely ridiculous, and it's not how our government was set up to be run. Yeah, they're not supposed to have something separate than the average American. Yeah, they're supposed to be for the average American. So, yeah, that is completely ridiculous, and that needs to be changed.
No, I understand that. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, it just the whole logic between the whole deal is pretty piss poor. And we've got a really tough system, which nobody really cares about. But yet you have leaders like Pelosi, and as I got nothing against her personally, but I mean, you know, she's worth $100 million. What does she care about the average guy in the street? I don't see her giving her money to the poor people that she wants to make sure that we give the money to. What do you think of that?
Yeah, right. Let's see. You give 40% of your money away there, Nancy. No, they don't. I mean, it is ridiculous. It's become, you know, a white castle on the hill that they're going to protect. They're going to put their moat up and protect themselves, and they're not looking. You know, they're not looking for the rest of us. So, which, you know, again, that's why their animosity towards this administration is so vociferous, is that they just, you know, he threatened them. He absolutely threatened, you know, their kingdom, and they don't want any part of it. And they are fighting tooth and nail to make sure that nothing changes. And that's why you're seeing such division in this country right now. They're doing a good job of playing defense against it.
So, I mean, again, this is going to do it today, but you're going to come back tomorrow, right? You got time for me tomorrow, young man?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, this is the Bubba Show, Top of Horse. That was Mike Brown from Brown Capital out of Peoria. Make sure you check him out. We'll get you his number tomorrow. In the meantime, for the listeners of the Bubba Show podcast, go to Audible, free books, and you can check out. They've got over 180,000 titles with a 30-day free download. And you can check it out. And you've got books like Fed Up by our friend Danielle DiMartino Booth. And, of course, The Creature from Jekyll Island, as well as many others. If you're a fiction fan, Stone Barrington, actually Stuart Woods, whose character is Stone Barrington. That's who I want to be when I come back in life. So in the meantime, go to libertytalk.fm and check out the Bubba Show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge. You've got that now hosted by Xander, and they're getting a lot of big guests and having a great time doing it. In the meantime, you want to go to BubbaTrading.com and make sure that you get the see our Bubba's bottom line, first of all, because you can tell when I get pissed off and I got fire going. It shows up, especially when I have my blood pressure checked out live on air. And BubbaTrading.com can get you a lot of the other products that we're showing and offering, and at least give you a general information of our market sentiment. Well, we're going to step out for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station with Mike Brown. This is the Bubba Show, Top of the Horse. Have a great day, everybody. See you soon. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.